Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock on this Monday in Phoenix. John Gambadoro, Luke Lipinski filling in for the vacationing Dave Burns. And we're going to take you right up to 6 o'clock on a what's going to be a very, very busy Monday with a lot of stuff going on, especially with your Arizona Cardinals. But we got to take this time to just congratulate Luke Lipinski. He's going to have his own show now. Woo! The Luke and Wolf Show, middays.
Let's go.
10 to 2 will be the lead-in show for our show, so you better do a good job, for goodness sake.
No pressure, jeez.
First thing Gambo said to me when I walked in today, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. You better do a good job. You're the lead-in for our show, so. But well-deserved. I mean, you've been at this station for a long time.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, thank all of you. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're all looking forward to hearing the show. So it'll start Monday, right? Monday, you and Wolf. 10 o'clock in the morning next Monday.
Yeah, I think it might be Tuesday because isn't Monday Labor Day?
Oh, Tuesday.
We're off on Labor Day.
Yeah. We're off on Labor Day.
But everybody should tune in on Monday just to get ready.
For sure.
Yeah.
Just set the internal calendar. Yeah. And just get going.
Yeah. Well, you've worked the way up the ladder. This is a great opportunity for you, and we're all just very excited for you. So 10 o'clock, Luke and Wolf starting next Tuesday, and Bickley and Murata will be on from 6 to 10 in the mornings. So it'll be a great lineup for you. We're excited about it. And we're happy for Luke.
I appreciate that. Vince is already waking up right now for his first show at 6 in the morning.
I said to him, I go, like, I would never do it. I'd rather quit. I swear I'd rather quit. I'm like, dude, what time are you going to get up? He's like, probably like 3:30, maybe 3:45. Like I just like, no thanks. Just no thanks.
That's the advice Gambo threw out today when I walked in. Don't mess up. And DeVinny, I'd never do it. I'd quit.
I would never do it. I could never. Hey, Gambo, we need you to do the morning show. I'm retiring today. They want me out. That's all they're going to do is tell me I got to do the morning show and then I'm done. I would never, 3 o'clock in the morning?
That's not that bad.
Oh, man. And these guys all take naps. So you sleep for 4 hours and then you nap.
It doesn't start at 3 a.m., though. You just have to be awake around 3 a.m.
Who's awake at 3 a.m.?
There's people awake at 3 a.m.
You're not supposed to be awake at 3 a.m. supposed to be awake at 3 a.m. And a lot of people do it.
Just the owls, pretty much.
Yeah. Yes. I
some wildlife.
Anyway, you have a good weekend?
Yeah, great weekend.
Good.
You?
I had my fifth anniversary.
I
so
saw
me
that
and Chelsea. So anybody who had the under on 5 years, we passed
it. How'd y'all celebrate?
We went to dinner on Friday night. Then we went to breakfast and so we just did
whole
some
weekend
of the,
thing. That's nice.
All that stuff. Yeah, we actually got each other gifts and because everything's delayed right now. Like mine didn't come, hers didn't come. It's like I'm tracking it. Like it's I don't know. Like everything's delayed. Like everything's taken forever to get somewhere these days. Mm-hmm. Everything's on back order. Everything's at one of my main gifts didn't get here, and her main gift to me did not get here.
This is a brilliant thing, though, if you're out there driving around and you realize you just forgot to get somebody a gift, just order it today and be like, with everything being
behind. Country's in shambles, everything's on back order, and everything's taking forever to get it. Honey, I actually ordered for you a month ago.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy.
It's crazy. It's just crazy out there,
They're out of everything. They're out of everything. honey, a month ago I ordered this. That's all you got to say. People will buy it.
Yeah.
Here's a tracking number for
even
you.
Even Gucci bags, huh? Yes, even Gucci bags.
Even
Gucci bags.
Never show up.
Yeah. Went to the Gucci store, and they're waiting shipment coming in from Milan next week. It's supposed to be here next week. I checked with them. I did, honey. Call yourself. Shipment from Milan. It's coming in. I promise.
Please don't call, though.
Yeah, the plus
don't
please.
Actually
call. Don't actually call. The phone lines are backed up, too.
And then I'm going to I watched that movie again. I can't believe my wife thinks I'm obsessed. I'm going to highly recommend that movie, Coda.
What
Children
is that?
Of Deaf Adults. Oh, my God. I watched it a second time, and I used my daughter as an excuse so I could watch it a second time. I used my 12-year-old daughter. I'm like, honey, you're really going to want to watch this movie. Okay, so I watched it with my daughter, but I really watched it for me.
Okay.
It was so good. It was just so freaking good.
Have you watched the Bob Ross documentary yet?
I have not watched that. That's next on the agenda.
Mad. You're going to be so
mad. I've heard
mad.
That's disappointing.
I watched it as well.
It is upsetting.
Yeah, it's a little rough. Not
did I make him out to be a bad dude?
Nothing about Bob Ross, but the situation surrounding him, it's really depressing.
Yes.
Yeah.
People who go into business with him. Trying to take advantage.
Oh, man.
I love how you're trying not to give away the ending, so you're just saying little words.
And then.
All right.
Paint.
So I recommend Coda. All right. Let's waste no further time. We got a lot of stuff to get into. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
All right, we told you last week, was it Wednesday, Jordan, that Andy Isabella is going to make this roster, that he is going to be the fifth receiver, that he is the New Orleans game doesn't matter. He had great practices. He's making the team. So you're the first to tell you that last week that Andy Isabella made the team. We did not know that Keyshawn Johnson was going to get cut. We just knew last week that Andy Isabella was going to make this roster. Nobody was. Here's the interesting thing. Everybody was hyper-focused on Isabella until I think Wednesday when we reported that Isabella was going to make the roster. He's not going to get cut. He's not going to get traded. You got A.J. Green on a one-year deal. Christian Kirk's on a one-year deal. So you had a couple of guys on one-year deals. Isabella wasn't going anywhere. Now, we didn't know about Keyshawn Johnson. We kind of figured that they'd keep six receivers at that time. I did. I figured they'd keep six. I just knew at that time that Isabella was going to make the team and that the game against New Orleans had no bearing on whether he was going to make the roster or not. So we discussed that on Wednesday and then again on Thursday. Keyshawn Johnson getting cut was a little bit of a surprise to me. It was. And I think it opens up a lot of speculation. There are people wondering, is that an open roster spot for Larry Fitzgerald? There are people wondering, are they just going to keep five receivers? There are people wondering, are they going to go outside the organization and get somebody? Now, you know, what I believe at this point is they're not sure yet. There's too many moving parts at this time. Teams are cutting players left and right. You're looking at all these teams. You're looking at all these players. If somebody pops that you like better than Keyshawn Johnson, then obviously going to go get that guy. As far as Keyshawn, the only thing I could tell you that I heard is that he just got outplayed.
Mm.
He just simply got outplayed.
And that's not even by Isabella. That's by other guys.
He just got outplayed. He wasn't like he didn't. Yeah. I mean, Isabella, when he came in, he had those four really good practices. I guess you could make the argument Isabella outplayed him, that it wasn't a draft pick thing, that it was just he got outplayed by Isabella. I wasn't really focusing on Keyshawn Johnson. I thought he'd make the roster, but he ends up getting cut. And now all eyes are on what are the Cardinals going to do? Because everybody's making their cuts now, today, tomorrow, and then we'll see if Steve Keim goes out there and adds a wide receiver. And it's you know, my guess is that that's what they'll do. My guess is that they'll probably add a wide receiver from another roster, somebody that got cut, somebody that they, and you know how this works. I mean, you know, it might have been a guy that you liked in the draft and he was a fifth-round pick and you liked him and you were going to grab him in the fifth round, but a team took him 10 spots earlier than you, but you really liked the guy.
Yeah.
And you kind of, 2 years have passed, 3 years have passed, and, you know, now all of a sudden he's available and you still like him. So that's what happens to a lot of these teams. A GM or a player personnel guy really likes this guy, and they always wanted to get him, and all of a sudden he's available, and then they swoop in and they grab him.
Well, look, Breshad Perriman's out there. So, I mean, that's there's your first option.
What have I always said? What have I always said?
You've been very consistent.
What have I always said about Breshad Perriman?
Paying the Perriman.
Don't pay him.
Yeah. What? Right.
Yeah.
Don't pay the Perriman.
And Detroit did.
Jordan, totally not ready for that one, but a couple seconds later.
Well, I thought, you know, talking about Arizona Cardinal wide receivers, a release wide receiver from the Lions wasn't going to come up.
I blame that on Luke.
That's fair. I'll take that.
I blame that totally on Luke.
It's never too early to talk about Breshad Perriman.
Yes. I've been saying for years, don't pay the Perriman. Don't even fix the price. The Lions didn't. They got Burns. You do not pay the Perriman.
Paid him and they let him go.
Paid him $2.5 million?
Yeah.
It was like $2.5 million. Yeah.
Like yeah. 5 months ago, right? It's just a couple months ago.
Yeah. Krista Berg warned people many, many years ago, don't pay the Perriman. And the Lions did. And the Lions just got burned.
Of all the teams that would get burned, of course, the Lions.
Shocking. Should just listen to my advice. It's all over this. The guy had one catch and two drops in a whole preseason. Like, you know what? Dude, you're not very good. I don't know why we paid you.
So you're saying maybe not an option for the Cardinals. You're saying maybe they'll wait for somebody else.
Let me just ask this simple question. Okay. Has anybody downloaded this song on their Spotify?
In the world?
Sarah, no. No, here.
Oh.
No.
Jordan? You guys, Luke?
I don't download them. I just play them as I want to hear them.
You guys suck.
Sorry.
I come up with a really good song, and here it is right here. Crank this up.
Feel better, Gambo?
I do feel better. Okay. You can download that song if you like. It's called Don't Pay the Ferryman, yeah. Although it sounds like Perriman.
Maybe that's why nobody's downloading it.
They keep looking for Don't Play the Perriman and it's not coming up.
I added a song from last week or 2 weeks ago.
Oh. Yeah.
You Don't Want Me Anymore, Steel Breeze.
You don't
I
want me
I put that
me,
on yeah. my Spotify.
I love that song.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
I don't remember why we were playing it, but we dropped it.
I got a new one for you. You ready?
And I'm into
My wife's going to totally kill me.
I'm going to put together a Gambo playlist.
This was on the movie Coda that I'm completely obsessed with. Amelia Jones, Both Sides Now. It was originally sung by Joni Mitchell, but the Amelia Jones version is actually better. Both Sides Now, Amelia Jones. You listen to that and tell me you don't like that. That is a great song, like a remake of a 60s song. By Joni Mitchell.
But that's not about Rashad Perriman
at all.
It's
not about Rashad Perriman. Okay. But they're not going to sign Rashad Perriman. Nobody will, I don't think. But I think that they will add another wide receiver. The Keyshawn Johnson thing, I think, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh my, like, I didn't know that was coming. I had no idea. So, you know, I knew that Isabella was going to make the roster. I knew that he wasn't going to get cut or traded. But the thing with Keyshawn Johnson, I was not aware that Keyshawn Johnson was not going to make this roster. I was not aware. With Isabella, like, whether he made it as a fifth or sixth guy, we just knew he was going to make it. Keyshawn was a little bit of a surprise. Like, he was always considered a good route runner and good player, but he ends up being the big name cut by the Cardinals today.
Here's Cliff when he was asked about it this afternoon.
Keyshawn's a guy who played here. We obviously drafted him. We know he can play in this league. There's just tough competition in that room, and there's some other guys that stepped up and just became a numbers game.
They also did ask him about the possibility of still carrying six wide receivers even without Keyshawn.
It's a possibility. Yeah, we'll see. You know, the next 24 hours, we're going to make some tough decisions and see where it lands.
He was getting first-team reps because there was always guys out. Hopkins was out, or A.J. Green was out, or Isabella was out. There were always guys out. So you're talking about, with Keyshawn, here's the guy who's getting first-team reps.
Yeah.
So I think that many thought it was just a lock. Now, I expect that he's going to get picked up by somebody. I think he will get picked up by somebody. So he was a 2019 draft pick. Him and Hakeem Butler and Andy Isabella all drafted in the same year. Butler really never made it. He was out after, you know, that first year. And now Keyshawn Johnson is out. And it does leave Andy Isabella, the second round pick from that 2019 draft class, as the one wide receiver left in the year where they got three guys. Johnson was the 174th overall choice, a sixth round pick. Look, a lot of sixth round picks don't make it in this league. A lot of them only last a year or two and they get cut. I mean, go look at the history of sixth-round picks. I mean, there's no lock that you're going to play 5 years in this league if you're a sixth-round pick.
No.
A lot of them only last a year or two. Keyshawn Johnson with the Cardinals 2 years, and now we'll see if he ends up somewhere else. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else gives him a shot. I think he's got some talent, but Arizona, obviously, he didn't stand out in camp this year.
Text Sparky to 620-620 and kick off the college football season with your favorite Arizona sports hosts and special guest for our Valley Virtual Series presented by 72 Sold, where you can get a higher price. Plus, we'll be giving away college football tickets. That's text Sparky to 620-620. Coming up, Cardinals preseason is over. Do we know who the number three running back is? We will get into it next. Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Well, we're in a unique spot because we're still almost 2 weeks away from the regular season opener for the Cardinals, but the preseason is done, so now they have this like strange preparation time, extra prep time. They have to get down to 53 players on the 53-man roster tomorrow afternoon. And Gambo, I would say one of the positions that a lot of fans are looking at closely, and they have been all camp, is running back. To see what that depth chart is going to look like behind Chase Edmonds and James Conner.
Well, they didn't have that final preseason game to determine who is running back three and who is running back four. So you didn't get that New Orleans game. And I think a lot of people felt like, look, here's my opinion as far as that game is concerned. I don't think it really matters. You know, that's something that, you know, did anybody have their chances hurt by not playing this game? And the answer is, I don't think so. You know, they had some really, you know, good practices last week, intense practices. And I think that's where I determined that Andy Isabella had made the roster based on, you know, stuff that I had heard that he had made the roster. That's why we reported that Wednesday. But I'll say now, I'm pretty confident with this, that Eno Benjamin will win the job as running back number three. Mm. I'm pretty confident that Eno is going to end up being the third running back, that he will beat out Jonathan Ward for the number three running back spot. Nothing's been decided yet that I know of, but, you know, based on the camp that he had, I think that Eno has been arguably the Cardinals' most improved player. I think Eno Benjamin has wowed them. I think his play on special teams, I think that you can make an argument that he has been the most improved player on the roster So I am expecting that Eno Benjamin will win the job as the number three running back for the Arizona Cardinals in a very highly competitive battle, by the way. A very highly competitive battle.
That makes a big difference, too, because if you're the number three running back on the team, you're going to play. Whereas we saw Eno on the roster last year, but basically never active on game days. I mean, if he vaults up to number three, look, it's still Chase Edmonds, it's still James Conner. That's your backfield. But if somebody gets hurt, if you're talking about special teams, if you're just talking about a change of pace occasionally, I mean, Eno is, if what you're saying ends up happening, he's going to have a role on this team much more significantly than he had last year.
Yeah, you dress and you play. And I think, you know, because of injuries that we've seen with James Conner in the past and Chase, I think that number three running back is going to have a role here. Obviously, special teams, but I think getting a chance to carry the ball a little bit too. We haven't seen, you know, really carry the ball since ASU.
No.
I always say this. God, he was such a great running back at Arizona State University.
He was a beast at ASU.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, no, he was the best ASU running back I have ever seen since I've really started following ASU.
ASU's had a lot of great running backs. They've had a lot of, you know, they were good. They've had a lot of good, they always have a good running back at ASU. Always have a good running back.
But he looked like an NFL running back in college. And maybe that's just the way Herm used him or whatever.
I thought he was going to be so good.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be so good in the NFL. I really did. So, like, I remember when he was playing, I'm like, man, this kid's going to get drafted high, too. Maybe not first-round pick, but, man, he ended up falling to the seventh round.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't play special teams, so that hurt him. And then he didn't dress last year. But I think he's going to get his opportunities right now. Again, I think that he's been arguably their most improved player. And I think that he is, I would expect that he'll end up being the third running back on this team in what was, like I said, a highly competitive training camp battle between him and Jonathan Ward.
Well, this was Cliff Kingsbury a week ago talking about what he's already seen from Eno at that point.
We've always known what he can do when the ball's in his hands. I mean, he's a dynamic runner, has great vision, great feet, exceptional for the position. And last year was unfortunate for him that he didn't get those preseason reps, but he's done a really nice job in camp. Much more focused, much more dialed in, and is playing at a high level.
10 carries for 50 yards. He had a 6-yard touchdown against Dallas. He had a 38-yard run against Dallas. Like, they gave him an opportunity, and he took advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like, you don't turn your head on that. Like, if you're really giving him a fair shake, I think what he did in that Dallas game really, really helped. But as I've said all along, I mean, these preseason games, to Cliff Kingsbury, these preseason games don't mean that much. It's practice. Practice. How are you playing in practice? How are you prepared? How are you showing up? What's your commitment level? And I think on every aspect, Eno Benjamin has just won everybody over. So I don't know what the depth chart says right now, but I think in the end, I think that he'll be the guy dressed in game one against Tennessee.
Sort of the opposite of Keyshawn Johnson. I mean, Keyshawn, like you just said last segment, was getting opportunities running with the first team because of how many receivers were hurt. So he got an opportunity, didn't really run with it, and now he's going to have to catch on somewhere else. Whereas Eno, look, Eno knew even if he went out there and was dominant in the preseason, he's not jumping ahead of James Conner or Chase Edmonds, but he could solidify a role on this team. And it seems like, based on what we've seen and what you're saying right now, it seems like he took his opportunity and made the absolute most of it after waiting all last year.
Well, you know, Ward last year, I mean, he was an undrafted free agent out of Central Michigan. I mean, he started the season on the practice squad, and they liked what they've seen out of him. So, you know, I know that that's I think, you know, you keep both. I expect they'll keep both. We'll see if something happens. I think that they'll keep four. It makes sense to keep four. But I like what Eno did in the Dallas game. I like what he's done in practice. I think he's capitalized on every opportunity that's been given to him. He's done a lot of the little things that you ask a running back to do to win a spot. So I'm you know, when that comes out, I think he'll be the number three running back behind Chase and Conner. I like the two. I like the combination. If they're healthy, I like the combination. James Conner's ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Chase can catch the ball out of the backfield, too. Chase has tremendous speed. James could be a little bit of a power runner on those, you know, those short third and ones, fourth and ones. He could help you there. So I like the mixture they have. And then Eno, you know, Eno, if he gets some opportunities, you know, watch out, because I still think that he's got a chance to play in this league for a while.
1,905 scrimmage yards and 18 touchdowns in 2018 with ASU. And then the next year they stopped blocking for him. But that year he was just an absolute
monster. That was the
monster.
Yeah. I mean, if you would have said, give me those numbers again.
This is total from scrimmage. Yeah. He had 1,642 rushing yards, 263 receiving, and then 18 total touchdowns.
God. And after that year, you said, where is he going to get drafted? That's when I remember saying, like, he's going to get drafted high.
Yeah, like top three rounds probably, maybe third or fourth round.
Yeah, I think that's what we thought. Like, he's going to get drafted pretty high. And then the next year, you're right, they stopped blocking for him.
His numbers weren't terrible the next year, but just watching him, like, you know, he still had 1,430 yards from scrimmage and 12 touchdowns, so not bad. But it just, I mean, there were games in 2018 where he was just dominant.
I'd have to see where he ranks on the all-time ASU list, but you're right. When you start to think about, you know, J.R. Redmond was a great back, and Terry Battle was a great, they've always had good running backs.
Yeah.
They've always had really good running backs at ASU, but man, he may have been the best.
He's the one that I just always thought, because of Herm Edwards and that pro system that they were trying to implement, and Herm always talked about having Curtis Martin and Larry Johnson and these guys when he was in the NFL, that you would just kind of figure a guy like Eno Benjamin would have a fast track to the NFL because Herm was so good with running backs in the pros, and now he gets his chance.
Yeah.
And they're not leaning on him to be the number one running back here, but he at least may get a chance.
At DeMario Richard, he was really good. Single season rushing, Eno Benjamin is the single season rushing leader. He is the single game rushing leader. He had 312 against Oregon State, and he is seventh all-time career rushing leader behind Woody Green in the 70s, Freddie Williams in the 70s, J.R. Redmond, who was probably my favorite ASU back, DeMario Richard, Wilford White in the 40s,
oof,
Leon Burton in the 50s, and then Eno. So Eno is seventh all-time career rushing yards for ASU.
Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you this week by your Valley Chevy dealers. Coming up, one name continues to be brought up as a potential future Phoenix Sun, and it has resurfaced again. We'll get into that next. It's the Burns and Gambo show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
All right, Sarah Cazell is here with today's Twitter poll question. Sarah, what do you got?
All right, fellas. We are looking at the Cardinals' cuts and what they might do with that sixth wide receiver spot. Keyshawn Johnson, something we've covered plenty throughout the day here on the station. One of the 10 guys formally announced by the Cardinals to get cut today. So we are asking, what will the Cards do with their sixth wide receiver spot? They will just carry five receivers, not six. Larry Fitzgerald comes back. Or they'll bring in a receiver from elsewhere. What do you guys think?
Let me ask you something. Why does one of them have two exclamation points and red mark on it?
That's leading the witness.
You're leading the witness. That is exactly right. You are leading the witness. Do you think that John committed the murder, or Todd, or do you think that Larry committed? Like, you're leading the witness.
I don't know if I led it to this point.
I should point out, they're not just exclamation points. They are bright red, bold
bright
exclamation.
Red. I wouldn't even know how to put that on there.
Yeah. It's an emoji.
It is.
I'll show you.
Sarah went with an emoji.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to guess people would have voted for it even without the emoji, but if the emoji is what turned you, please tweet us at Burns and Gambo. Let me know what you think. What do you guys think? What's going to happen?
I think they fill it from the outside. I think that they pick a wide receiver off of somebody else's roster that got cut.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I
think
you
have to. I'd be surprised, unless there's just nobody out there. I mean, if you're going to go with six, why wouldn't you at least try somebody else out there? Because you can go for upside there. It's your sixth receiver. He doesn't need to come in and know the system right away.
Sure.
So I'll go bring in wide receiver from the outside.
Okay. For the record, Greg Dortch was a write-in response by quite a few people. But right now it's 52% of our voters going with Larry Fitzgerald. Perhaps wishful thinking for some. 26% go with the first option, carrying five receivers on the roster, not six. 22% went with what you guys are, bring in somebody from outside the organization.
All right, there it is. You could vote for that on the Burns and Gambo page. Make sure you like the page.
Yes.
That gets, you know, gets Sarah very excited when you end up liking the page and following the page. So go ahead and do that.
Excited.
Yes, very
excited. Does
yes.
a dance after each follow.
Every single one.
Yeah.
Very interactive page, constantly on there. And you could she leads the Larry Fitzgerald, the exclamation point.
She'll tell you what she wants you to vote for, and then you'll vote that
way. If I go back to other, like, if I go look at the last poll, was there any exclamation points? No.
No.
Sports Illustrated predicts the Cardinals will finish 6-11. No leading there.
Mm-mm. I don't know. People just get excited about Larry Fitzgerald.
Pac-12 announced no leading there. What is the Superior Mall Pretzel? No leading there.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question. How did I miss that one? Superior Mall Pretzel.
It was Friday afternoon. Auntie Anne's versus Wetzel's Pretzels. Hey,
I think I was having a Superior Mall Pretzel on Friday afternoon, actually.
Yes. Like,
anytime my wife asks me to go to the mall, I swear my first thought is, I'm getting pretzels.
Yeah. Why else would you go to the mall?
I'll walk around with you and eat pretzels.
Absolutely.
Like, I love pretzels.
Like the cinnamon ones, or do you go
no.
like, oh, really?
Salted.
Okay.
Just salted pretzels.
Yum.
I don't dip them in the cheese either. I know you do.
I do. Unsalted with the cheese.
Yeah.
Drown them in the cheese.
You want to go to the mall? I'm not thinking like I really want to go to the mall. I'm thinking I'm going to get some pretzels.
The place that has the pretzels?
Yeah.
Yes, I'll go to that.
You want me to go?
All you're hearing is you want to go get some pretzels? And you're like, sure, pretzels.
Any Ann's or Wetzel's? I'm like, I'm in.
Okay. I don't think you'd go wrong either way, to be honest.
All right, thanks, Sarah. We will check back with you. Sanderson Ford, the poll sponsor. You can visit them on 51st Avenue in Glendale if you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, or online, sandersonford.com.
All right, Gambo. So this is a name you've brought up quite a few times with the Phoenix Suns. And I think a lot of Suns fans would be content if the team is just done for this offseason. And you go into next season. I mean, maybe you give an extension to DeAndre or you give an extension to Mikal Bridges or both or whatever. But I think for the most part, I think most Suns fans are like, all right, this is a pretty similar team to the team that just went to the NBA title and came within two wins of taking the whole thing. But Thaddeus Young's name has come up a few times. And it is resurfacing again, courtesy of Sham Sharania, this time of The Athletic and Stadium Sports. And it's been brought up that the Suns have been pursuing him. And you'd have to make a trade with the Spurs, which always makes my skin crawl, but that's at least something that's still out there.
Yeah, listen, it's a good name. I mean, he makes $14 million, so you know, you've got to send back probably $10 or $11 million, so that's where the Dario Saric and sticks would make sense if you did something like that, or maybe you throw in a pick as well. So, you know, that's why it's a harder name to add. I think it's a possibility. I'd never rule it out. Remember, they could also hold on and wait for a potential buyout with a player. They could do it, you know, they could get two roster spots for one. They could make a 2-for-1 trade. You know, if a team, you know, if you're sending back a guy with more salary and you want a guy with less of salary, you could take two players back with that open roster. There's a benefit to the open roster spot. So there is a benefit to it, to keeping that open roster spot. But if you can get a guy like Thaddeus Young, he does help you because he fits into that defensive-minded player that you would want. As I said about Kevin Love last week, Kevin Love can't defend anybody. He's not a power forward anymore. He's a backup center, and he's not even a good one there. This whole NBA, it really is about switches and pick and roll. That's what the game has evolved to. It's you got a guy on the court that is a weak defensive player. What's going to happen is the team's going to switch and switch and switch until they get that matchup, and then they're going to exploit that matchup. Kevin Love's been exploited all the time. He can't move. Like, Kevin Love is not the player for the Phoenix Suns. Now, if he was in a buyout, I mean, there's no risk there taking a player like Kevin Love at a minimum salary. So it's not like you're risking a lot of money. With Thaddeus Young, it's $14 million. But Kevin Love, I don't want Kevin Love. He can't defend. He's a terrible defensive player, so I have no interest in him.
Doesn't it make you a little bit nervous, though, just the idea of making a trade with San Antonio? I know this is completely irrational. If Thaddeus Young helps your team, you do it. If you're talking about Jalen Smith and Dario Saric, if that's the deal, I'm interested. If you start to go any deeper, though, I've heard people talking like, would you trade Cameron Johnson? No, I wouldn't. I don't want to trade Cameron Johnson to San Antonio. Certainly don't want to trade Mikal Bridges to San Antonio. I don't want those guys going to the Spurs.
No. Listen, there's interest from the Suns. Last I heard, there was no serious negotiations going on. There's interest. He's a good player. You know, you've got to trade salary, so, you know, makes it unlikely. I mean, I still think that I don't rule it out. I don't break out the Blue Oyster Cult. But what I've been told is it's, you know, in the past, it's unlikely. You know, you've got to make salaries match and things like that. And the Suns don't have a lot of guys that they could trade to San Antonio. Like, does San Antonio really run Dario Saric? He's not going to play next year. Like, he's not going to play. And Jalen Smith, I mean, unless you think that, okay, we'll take a younger player with some upside and, you know, try to see what we could get out of him. Okay, that makes some sense. But you know, that would be the player. You'd have a second year of Dario because he's got 2 years on his contract. He signed a 3-year deal with the Suns.
Yeah, and they might do that. They might look at Jalen Smith and be like, look, top 10 pick last year. He's not playing in Phoenix. He probably does more for the Spurs big picture than Thaddeus Young. They might do that. But I just, if they're going to do that, don't you think they're probably getting other offers too of younger players?
I think that they would. I mean, he's a good player. Like, that's the thing. He's got good length and he can defend, which is what you're looking for. So, like, you look at him, he was pretty good with the Bulls. He averaged 12 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. So that's a player that you could say with Dario out. Now, you did add JaVale McGee, but you could, you know, when you're looking at bolstering the front court rotation, that's a player that, okay, he could come in and play. He's not going to come in and sit and not play. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a guy that if you got him, he's going to play. Because I look at the power forwards right now, and I see Jay Crowder as my top power forward, and honestly, I think Cam Johnson is going to get a lot of time at power forward. The way the roster is constructed right now, that's the way it looks. If you bring in Thaddeus Young, you know, you could address, because he could play, you know, some 4, some 5. He's got that length, depending on what you're doing, if you're on small ball or not. I think he can help a bunch of teams. I'm not opposed to Thaddeus Young. It's just, again, these deals are harder to make because there's a salary involved and you've got to trade salary back.
It does, though. That, I mean, you start talking about the different roles he could play on this team and the bench that the Suns would have going into this season if you did add Thaddeus Young. If you could make that trade where it was Jalen Smith and Dario for Thaddeus Young. I mean, you're upgraded for this year.
Yeah. No, it's a good – listen, he's a good player. Like I said, is there interest from the Suns? Yes. Said that for a while now. Has there been serious negotiations? I didn't check on it today, but in the past, you know, there wasn't, but there's a good player. Do they like him? Yeah. Are they interested? Yes. It becomes difficult because you've got to make a trade work. You know, yeah. It's not signing a free agent. It's making a trade work with a guy that's making $14 million in salary.
This is why I would make the trade with the Spurs, but I would want one of the terms to be they admit that Robert Horry play was trash when he threw Steve Nett. Like, that's publicly.
Would that do it for
yeah,
you?
I want a public apology. You can have Jalen Smith and Dario. I get Thaddeus Young, and you make a public apology that you completely screwed the Suns 15 years ago.
And that would work for you?
Yeah, I would at that point. Yeah. Yeah. Because I would, then I'd have it on the record. And it doesn't erase all
the apology
pain.
From Popovich or Duncan or Robert Horry.
I want it from Popovich actually, but with Horry standing next to him.
Yeah. Yeah. So Popovich, so he wants Jalen Smith that bad, he's going to give you a public apology. That'll never happen.
That's, yeah. But
it's good
did,
wishful.
I'd probably actually throw in another player if he did that. Bix picks
just a draft pick. You do the listen. You apologize, I'll give you a draft pick.
Unprotected lottery pick because the Suns won't be there anyway. So what does it matter? Bix picks is back for the 2021 NFL season. Text pick to 620-620 to sign up and compete against Dan Bickley for your chance. The grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill, courtesy of Modelo Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. Just text PICK to 620-620 to enter. Coming up, week 0 of the college football season is officially in the books. We'll react to it next. Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, we were talking about this in the pre-show meeting. Luke Lipinski in for Dave Burns, Burns and Gambo Show. Gambo, we were talking about a pre-show with Jordan Bird, and for some reason we all watched the Illinois-Nebraska game on Saturday, and I don't know why.
That should be a poll question. How many people got up and watched Illinois and Nebraska in what time did that game start? Was it 10 a.m.?
10:30, somewhere in there.
I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch this game. Scott Frost, and that Martinez kid is a terrible quarterback. The Illinois quarterback got hurt. He got, I think, Payne. He had like 3 sacks in the game. That guy Payne, somebody shoved him to the ground. He hurt his shoulder. He came out. The Nebraska quarterback was throwing high. I mean, I did. I watched the entire game. And, man, and I said this the other day when I was on with Jordan. Like the best team that I've ever seen in my life in college football was the Tommy Frazier Nebraska team.
Really? The best team?
The best team I've ever seen was Tom Osborne's Nebraska. Tommy Frazier was such a great college quarterback, and that was the best. And I always thought it was great for college football when Nebraska was relevant. Uh-huh. I did, but man, Nebraska hasn't been relative forever. This kind of sucks, and they got slaughtered. They didn't get slaughtered, but They lost that game, and you've got to think that this is it for Scott Frost, that this is going to be his last year, because he can't win there.
Man, it feels like he just got hired there, and all the Nebraska fans I know were like, this guy's the next, the Belichick of college. He's the Sean McVay of college football, and he has not been
that. He was their guy. I mean, he was their quarterback. Like, he was their guy. I mean, he's 12-21. The resources, the recruiting classes. I mean, how are you 12-21? I mean, you know, losing to Colorado, Minnesota, Northwestern, like, they're just not that relevant anymore. I said this, like, they were great under Osborne, and I think they were really good under Frank Solich.
Yeah,
but after
that,
man, Bill Callahan was a joke. Pelini didn't do very well. Riley was a disaster. Frost has been bad. Man, it's been a – Frank Solich was the last good coach that they had. And somebody wrote a column like, okay, where do you go from here? Like, if you're Nebraska, you just hired Scott Frost and it didn't work out. Like, where do you go? Who do you hire next? When your own guy who was supposed to turn this thing around can't get you wins.
Never good when your season starts with a safety. That was the first score of the weekend.
Yeah.
The team safety.
Well, and
the
that
best.
Was, and wasn't that a crazy play, right? He goes to field the, he goes to field the punt. And he kind of slips into, he kind of catches it, but then slides back into the end zone.
Yeah.
And then kind of gets tackled. And then it was like, you were trying to think, did the momentum carry him back into the end zone? And they're like, nope, it's a safety. 2-0 Illinois.
It is weird when these schools that were like once true powerhouses, like Nebraska was, I mean, what was that? The
powerhouse.
ASU year in 96 when they beat them. I mean, it, Nebraska, it felt like they hadn't lost him forever.
When ASU beat them, I mean, it was like.
Frost was the quarterback, right? I think he was Nebraska's quarterback.
Yeah. They shut him out.
Yeah.
ASU shut him out, I think, that year.
And I wasn't
and that was
here
such
yet.
A big deal.
But I heard that they just, like, took the uprights and carried him down Mill Avenue.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that story's been embellished to me or what, but it sounds like it was an amazing time.
Supposedly, they threw the uprights. They walked him down Mill Avenue and threw him into the Salt River.
That's awesome.
Or the Salt River bed.
Is that what it was?
That's the urban legend.
So they're still down there, or did somebody fish him out at some point?
I think it was dry back then. There was no Tempe Town Lake.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was to me there was nothing better than Tommy Frazier. That he and those Nebraska teams were just so good. They beat the hell out of here in the Fiesta Bowl when they beat the hell out of Florida in that game, and he was like, "Oh man, that's the best team I've ever seen in my life." But yeah, that you just I watched that game like you did, and I just I've kind of wanted Nebraska to get back on top and. And they didn't. And you see Illinois with Brent Bielema, the former Wisconsin coach.
Yeah.
He comes in. He gets his first win there. Now, they had he got fired after last year. Who's the coach for Illinois?
Lovie Smith.
Lovie Smith. Yeah, Lovie Smith, the former Bears coach. Lovie Smith was at Illinois for a while, and he just couldn't get him over the hump. And then he got fired after last year. And I thought that was going to be a good hire for them, Lovie Smith. So they fired Lovie Smith. They bring in Brett Bielema. And he's got Illinois with a win already. The other big story was UCLA beating the hell out of Todd Graham.
Oh, Todd Graham. A lot of character, though, by Hawaii in the loss. And that's always important to Todd.
Yeah. Give Todd Graham credit. Man, UCLA just thumped Hawaii. Now, I didn't watch a lot of that game. I watched the highlights of that game. The only game I watched from start to finish was I watched the Illinois game against Nebraska. So I didn't see a lot of the Hawaii antics or things like that. UCLA just crushed them. I was watching the highlights of it. Man, it looks like they scored on almost every possession.
Pretty much. They won 44-10. I do wonder if UCLA might be decent this year. Like, Chip Kelly used to be a great college coach, and he hasn't been. And UCLA is one of those programs that you always just assume, like, oh, they can recruit at Southern California. They're always good. They're not really ever good anymore, but that could be a good team this year. They got two really good running backs, and Dorian Thompson Robinson's a pretty good quarterback when he's able to play. Like, I don't know how much you take away from a win over Hawaii, because that's always kind of, depending on the year, you have to put that take it with a grain of salt. But UCLA has been kind of building a team, and just the idea of having two really good running backs on a team coached by Chip Kelly.
What Felton go for in that game? You got the box score there?
Felton is gone. He left.
He's gone.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know where he went. Zach Charbonnet had three touchdowns, the Michigan transfer, and then Britton Brown had one. I don't know where Felton went in the NFL, and he was amazing last year.
Yeah.
But they've got – anytime you give Chip Kelly good running backs, and look, Thompson Robinson's a good running quarterback when he has to. Not like I think UCLA is going to – challenge for the Pac-12 title or go to the NCAA playoff, but I think they could be a thorn in some team's side in the South.
Yeah, I think that's what you're, you're ASU, you've got to look at this, right? I mean, a lot of people think it's going to be USC that you got to compete with. I think John Wilner picked Arizona State to win the Pac-12 South and then play Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. But UCLA, I mean, they got that Chip Kelly high-powered offense, and they go out and they crush Hawaii. And they, now, you know, when I was doing my notes on UCLA, one of the things I remember vividly was, I mean, they got so many starters back. Like, yeah. Kind of like ASU in some ways with that, with ASU's defense. They got a lot of starters back from UCLA. But, you know, Chip Kelly has not done a good job.
No, he really hasn't.
Since he's been there. He hasn't. So, you know, people talk about hot seat and winning. He has not done a great job at UCLA since he's got there, so we'll find out if they're able to win. But that was a big win for them.
How does that happen? I mean, I understand Chip Kelly being a great coach at Oregon, goes to the NFL, it doesn't work. I get that. But then when you go back to college, shouldn't what you were doing work pretty well again? Like, maybe the game has changed a little bit. You know, we're talking about a decade. But it shouldn't have changed so much where you're just, like, people forget Chip Kelly's even the coach of UCLA. 10 years ago, he was, like, the hottest name in college football.
It's happened a few times. It was the Stanford basketball coach that did such a great job. And then he came back, and I don't think it worked out
well. I don't know. I thought you were going to go with Jim Harbaugh, Stanford football coach.
Maybe it was Mike Montgomery.
Maybe. He was there forever, wasn't
he? Yeah, Mike Montgomery. Like, Mike Montgomery did a really great job at Stanford, and then he then he left to go to the Golden State Warriors, and then he came back to Cal. But like at Stanford, he was a great coach at Stanford. And then when he came back and he coached Cal, like they weren't any good. Like they were just, you know, I mean, they were okay. They weren't, it's not that they weren't any good. They were decent,
but they
weren't at the level that, you know, when Stanford was, you know, going to Elite Eights and Final Fours and stuff like that, he didn't get them to those type of levels when he was at Cal.
Yeah.
Like it was just different. He wasn't able to have the success at Cal that he had at Stanford.
That's a pretty good example. And I mean, I guess
Mike
Harbaugh,
Montgomery, that's the one that stands out for me.
I guess Harbaugh would be a decent because he was great with Stanford.
Yes.
Goes to the NFL, is good. Really hasn't done much with Michigan.
Has not been great.
But at least that's like a different conference. You can't get past Ohio State. Like, I can at least kind of reconcile it in my mind, whereas Chip Kelly went back to the exact same conference. You know?
But so did Mike Montgomery.
Yeah, that's true.
Stanford to Cal. And like at Stanford, they were great. I mean, they had Final Four appearances and stuff. And with Cal, it was NITs. And they got to the NCAA tournament like a couple times. But he wasn't able to duplicate the success he had at Stanford.
Well, hopefully UCLA isn't as good as they looked on Saturday.
No, I don't love their quarterback. Did you watch the game?
I watched a good chunk of it. He didn't do much, really.
Yeah, that Thompson Robinson, I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of his. So they've got some good players, but I just don't think that quarterback's that great. I didn't like him in the past, so we'll see if he's able to. But, you know, that's a big win for them. They got off to a really good start.
All right, we come back. Hour number two of the show, the Cardinals making some cuts as they try to get down to the 53-man roster. The deadline, of course, is tomorrow afternoon, and there's already a couple players apparently from this draft that are going to make the bad end of that cut list. That's next. The Burns and Gambo Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.